Hey guys, we're going to get to the show in just a second, but I'd like to take a moment to give a shout out to the sponsor of this episode, and that's Podcorn. So what is Podcorn? If you're looking to do a podcast and you want to monetize it and you want a really simple way to do it, then Podcorn is the answer. And I've been using Podcorn now for several weeks, actually months, and it has been one of the simplest ways to get a sponsor for your podcast. It's extremely easy to use. There are dozens and dozens of opportunities, and it has really helped out my show because prior to coming across Podcorn, it's not easy, right? It's kind of confusing. There's not a very simple way to go and find a sponsor for your show. And Podcorn takes all of the thinking out of it, all of that hard work, and it simplifies the experience and simplifies the process because you just go in and you're able to find what you want, find a sponsor that matches with your audience, submit a proposal, and boom. It's very easy to do. It's podcorn.com. So it's really just a marketplace to connect podcasters to an amazing opportunity. I mean, you can do ads such as reads, interview segments, topical discussions, a ton more, and there's no middleman. So you set your own rates, and then you work with the brand to come up with a plan, and it is extremely easy to use. So you never give up any rights to your podcast, by the way, and they're just there to support you every step of the way. And trust me, this has been my experience with Podcorn. So check them out. I put a link to them in this episode's show notes. So check out podcorn.com today. Hey guys, so welcome to the show, and we're going to get things going, of course, in just a moment. And tonight we're going to be talking about a moment that reverberated through the annals of time in WWE. One could argue was the most important point and moment in the women's evolution of WWE, and that was WWE turning Becky Lynch heel at SummerSlam in 2018. So let's take a look at that moment tonight, guys. I'm really excited to dissect it, talk about what led up to this, and of course, we're going to give you that all-important audio so we can listen to it together. So you guys aren't going to want to miss this one. Stay right here. We're going to get everything going right after this. Hey guys, so we all know how important it is to get the right content on your site, but what about removing the content that you don't need or is damaging to your brand, your business, or your website? That's where ContentRemoval.com comes in. They help businesses and individuals remove online content that damages the reputation and sales. For example, they can help you remove search results, images, videos, web pages, blog posts, news articles, copyright infringement, negative content, and so much more. So head on over to ContentRemoval.com and let the professionals take care of this for you. On their website, you'll be able to get a free quote right away. It's right on the main page. If you're concerned about pricing, they'll be able to give that to you very quickly. So head on over to ContentRemoval.com. Get rid of the content that could be hurting your sales and your business. They've been featured on BBC, GQ, Sky, Main Event, Box Nation, and much more. So let the professionals take care of this for you guys. Head on over to ContentRemoval.com. Hey, everybody. So it's not often that we talk about music here on this show or bands, but when we do, I think it's when it's worth listening to and when I run across a song or a band that I think it's worth sharing on this show. And that's one of these moments, and that's one of those bands that I think you guys should listen to. And it's just a particular song right now. And the song is called To the Fallen Sons. It's by a band called Carolus, C-A-R-O-L-U-S. And they're a newly formed band from Sweden. And they love making music about history, which is really, really cool. So this song in particular is about Carolians and the soldiers of the Swedish kings, King Charles the VI and King Charles the VII in the late 17th and 18th centuries. So let me give you a quick sample. And again, you can find them on Spotify under the song To the Fallen Sons. It's by Carolus, C-A-R-O-L-U-S. Soldiers of old, serving the two-tons kings.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era. To the reality era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's gonna get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Alrighty, welcome to the WWE Podcast, and yeah, it's Wrestling Nostalgia Night, and this is nostalgic. I mean, I guess anything in the past could be nostalgic. It's all perspective, and typically I go back at least 10, 15, 20, sometimes even longer years, and tonight we're only going back a couple of years, and I think it's relevant given Becky Lynch's recent announcement of her pregnancy. And to really gain some perspective of what this moment meant for not just the women's division, but the industry as a whole shifted in one fell swoop. One single slap by Becky Lynch sent the WWE industry, the wrestling industry, I should say. WWE is not an industry. The wrestling industry on its head with a single action. And looking back at this moment nearly 2 years later definitely confirms that. I mean, it was a big moment then. I think it's an even bigger moment now. Now that we have had time to reflect on where this all started. Where this Becky Lynch man journey started. And where this women's division really, really caught fire. And yes, prior to this moment in 2018, there was some very good matches from the ladies, right? I mean, we had Sasha Banks facing Charlotte for how many times, right? But they had some great matches. They had their Hell in a Cell match. They had all about worrying about making history. We had Bayley called up. The women's division was starting to really grow. And it was a time where the baby faces of the standard baby faces and the standard main event women that were spearheading the women's revolution evolution needed to step aside for one woman who the fans felt connected with throughout her journey in NXT through WWE. All the misbookings, all the mishandling, and the fans stuck with her. And the fans shared in that moment with Becky Lynch. They vicariously lived through Becky Lynch in that moment. And that is what made this moment so damn special. And you could say it was a career night for Becky. I don't think that's even a question. Was it the biggest night of her career? No, I think the biggest night of her career was main eventing WrestleMania 35, and that is certainly and should be the biggest moment of her career, and it was. But this was a moment that I think many fans look at as maybe equally as big as that moment, because if this moment didn't happen, Becky Lynch wouldn't have had the main event moment in WrestleMania, because this was a moment that was never supposed to happen. This was a moment that was never in the script, per se. It was never in the plans. This was not a moment conceived, contrived, developed, and manufactured in Vince McMahon's brain or a writer's brain sitting in a conference room developing this long-term plan for Becky. This was not what was supposed to happen, and I think that is what makes it so special. And when you look back at moments that weren't supposed to happen that feel special, look no further than Daniel Bryan. This was the equivalent of a Daniel Bryan moment in the women's division. And Daniel Bryan, certainly in his own right, was forced to the main event by the fans. And without the fans I mean, it would have been Randy Orton, Batista at WrestleMania 30. And Vince McMahon was forced by, I'm sure, the gritting of his teeth and every fiber of his being disgusted with what the fans wanted and not understanding why we like this guy. You can bet your ass that he probably thought that. And thinking, look at Randy, look at Batista. These are the real men. These are a man's man. Why? How could they be so just connected to Daniel Bryan? And that's where Vince doesn't get it at times. And this guy's a genius. But at times, Vince McMahon really gets it wrong. Just flat out wrong. And so, again, we're not going to dive into Daniel Bryan and his moment at WrestleMania 30. That is another podcast for another night. But I wanted to give the women's division a little bit of attention here. Because I feel like I have put them aside for a little while with the wrestling nostalgia and focused on a lot of the Attitude Era moments with Stone Cold, biasly, right? I mean, my favorite wrestler of all time. Very boring selection, I know. But I think the women's division needs a little bit of pampering here. And this moment is as big as they get. And that's what, again, what makes it awesome was that this was not in the plans. Not in the plans. And it was supposed to be a true heel turn by Becky Lynch in this SummerSlam Women's Championship match. And the fans were supposed to boo. That's what was in the script. You know how I know it was in the script? And it wasn't just an evil genius plan? Is because the next night on SmackDown, or the next episode of SmackDown, where Becky Lynch was housed at the time, she continued to drive the heel points home, trying to turn on the fans, and the fans weren't having it. You don't do that if you're trying to turn someone babyface. And instead, the fans said, yeah, no, we're not buying this. We still love you. Just give it up. You are our new pet project. You are our new Daniel Bryan. And my God, look at the success she's had. Look at the success that Becky Lynch has had since that moment. I mean, main eventing at every pay-per-view that you can think of. Not every pay-per-view, but she's main evented many, many, many pay-per-views, including WrestleMania, the first time ever with the women. And being in there with Ronda Rousey, who I think she had the best chemistry with out of every opponent she's ever had. And we'll get to Ronda Rousey, don't worry, in just a couple of minutes. But she truly has done it all. And I think it was a divine intervention that she got pregnant when she did, because I think she was starting to feel stale. I think the fans were starting to organically turn on her, or were about ready to, if she had stuck around with her goat shirts and her goat jackets and this arrogant Mack truck driving with my face plastered on it, arrogant SOB type of character that strutted around, and it was not endearing. It wasn't cute anymore. I was over it. Many, you know, some of the people I've talked to, a couple of my co-hosts felt the same way. So I think that this was a blessing in disguise because it came at the right time. And what we'll never know is who was supposed to originally take the belt off of Becky. You know, who was that person? I still believe it was Shayna Baszler. I still believe it was going to be Shayna Baszler who cashed in on Becky Lynch, because I think Shayna would have won it had Becky stuck around. They wouldn't have gone the road of Asuka versus Becky just because of the fact that they went through that many, many times before WrestleMania, which was just a few months ago. So they wouldn't have revisited that rivalry that soon. It wouldn't have made any sense. So I think Asuka was the right candidate to toss the baton to, turn her babyface. It's not hard to do. It's not hard to turn Asuka babyface. I mean, it's just the blink of an eye. Because she is colorful. She's great in the ring. She can be endearing. She's got decent comedic timing. And she's got a pedigree and a body of work that fans respect. So it's very easy to turn Asuka, and that's what they did. But I always do wonder who was supposed to, if anybody had been decided, take the women's championship off of Becky Lynch. So we'll never know. Maybe it'll come out at some point of the original plans. And maybe they'll still go with those plans after she returns and inevitably regains the women's championship. And I really don't think that she's going to be back anytime before maybe a year from now. Maybe next spring, next summer at the very earliest. But boy, can you imagine the anticipation, the rumors swirling, you know, months before she ends up returning. And I don't know how much time she's going to plan on taking with her child. I don't think she knows that yet. I'm sure she has a general idea of when she'd like to be back. And if she announced that she's pregnant, I would think that she's at least 2 to 3 months pregnant right now. If that's the case, which means that she wrestled unknowingly pregnant because she went through WrestleMania. But let's play devil's advocate and say that she got pregnant right after WrestleMania. Let's just play the card, play that game. That would mean that she's, what, 7 weeks pregnant? 6 weeks, seven weeks pregnant? Which means that if she's 7 weeks pregnant, ballsy move to tell someone you're pregnant at 7 weeks. I mean, it's you're still in that kind of risky zone, right? Which would mean that almost 2 months that she's been pregnant. So let's say that she's been pregnant. That puts her at, she's got technically 7 more months. So 7 more months from now is the end of December, early January. So probably around the Royal Rumble, she would be due, which means that she could feasibly be back for WrestleMania next year in Hollywood, in LA. If I were her, I would target that as a date, at least to make a showing. At least in a guest capacity, maybe not for a full-time return, but to rather give the fans a tease and more of fan service. And again, this is all assuming that we are back with a unrestricted, handcuffs off, social distancing is a distant memory life. Because I don't think you want this in front of nobody in the Performance Center. God help us if we are still doing this crap in, what, not 10, 11 months from now. I mean, really. So, if I were her, if I was to be a betting man, if the fans are back in attendance, and you have the soul of wrestling back, and that's the fans, then I think you could target, safely, a Becky Lynch, at least cameo appearance at WrestleMania 37. I think that that is a realistic date for her to be back from, or have given birth, recovered enough to at least make an appearance for maybe some kind of physical quick altercation, or guest referee capacity, or she just comes out and stands there and the fans go crazy, right? So anyway, I'm getting a little bit off track, but I'm just thinking about when we could see Becky Lynch again, and many of us are as well, because giving birth and childcare is no easy feat. I mean, so if anybody has a child, whether you're a father or a mother, you know this. You know which that of I speak. I didn't say that right, but you know what I mean. Okay, but let's get back to SummerSlam 2018. This took place in Brooklyn. So right off the bat, WWE, getting the reaction they did, probably looked at it as, it's Brooklyn. It's that hardcore non-traditional audience. We always know what we're going to get in Chicago. We know what we're going to get in Brooklyn. We know what we're going to get in LA. We know what we're going to get in any big city, because apparently their opinions don't matter to WWE in general. We've seen it time and again that they just try to label these fans as Bizarro World or whatever just silly cover of a reaction that they try to put on these audiences, these particular cities. But let's set the table. Because here's how this whole thing started. This was the road to SummerSlam 2018. So in 2017, let's take a step back. Alexa Bliss was traded to Monday Night Raw in the Superstar Shakeup with Flair coming over to SmackDown, Charlotte Flair. It didn't take long for Flair to assert her dominance over the division and capture the title from Natalya at the prior year's SummerSlam. Yes, I'm reading this. I did not write this. Why would I write it when it's easily Googleable, right? Okay. But after successfully defending her title against Asuka at WrestleMania 34, Flair lost the championship when Carmella cashed in on her with the Money in the Bank briefcase. So with Flair away from television after surgery, Becky Lynch would then go on a winning streak and fight her way into the number one contendership against Carmella. And that's when the two were set to face off at SummerSlam 2018 when Flair returned. So we're getting there, right? I mean, you got to remember, Carmella was actually involved in this match. She's such an afterthought in this match, and that's just the way it is because of the fact that it really wasn't about Carmella here. This was all about Becky, and in a lot of ways about Charlotte, and I'll get to that in a minute too. So let's continue here. Then we had Paige, who was the SmackDown Live general manager at the time, tried to force Carmella to be a fighting champion, putting her against against Charlotte Flair. Carmella lost the match, and now her SummerSlam match against Lynch would be a triple threat that included Flair. How many times have we seen this formula where Charlotte Flair is not the foundation of the match that's originated? And she's not in the plans, but they always find a way to triple threat her into a match. Always. I mean, they just seem to do it time and again, and no more prominent of a time than at WrestleMania 35, and putting her in the match that should have just been Ronda versus Becky, period, but they just triple threaded their way of getting Charlotte into the match, which was, I mean, I don't even want to go down that road. You guys know how I feel about that. It was just ridiculous that they were able to put Charlotte in that match. This was Becky's year. This was Becky versus Ronda. It's a one-on-one. They should not put Flair in there, but I know why they did, because they want to say that Flair was a part of the first ever women's main event at WrestleMania, but that's a shallow reason to do it. I think it took away from what could have been, right? But anyway. Okay, so moving on to this story here and how this all finally settled into a triple threat. I just told you Charlotte won a match, and then Paige said it's now a triple threat. So this immediately caused friction between Charlotte and Becky. Because at the time, you got to remember, Becky and Charlotte were friends on air, and Charlotte was billed as a babyface at that time. They were billed as best friends, and they're drinking their stupid ass tea and doing their weird kind of inside jokes that never translated well on TV at all. I mean, it just didn't. But it started to create some friction, and this is where the Iconics and Carmella continually referred to Lynch as Flair's sidekick, or say that she was in her shadow, which was true at the time. So at SummerSlam, we got the triple threat match, and you know, the quality of the match, we have to remember, I think the quality of the match was very good. I mean, it just was, and I think Carmella is an underrated performer. I don't think she gets the credit she deserves, because she's been so tied up with R-Truth being his sidekick and helping him keep a belt that means as much as my belt that I wear to work to keep my pants up. She got, I think, kind of stained from that a little bit, and she's working her way out of it. But the women's division certainly needs a boost. So, you know, now that R-Truth has kind of gone away from the 24/7 title until he eventually gets it from Rob Gronkowski, which I hope happens sooner than later, Carmella needs to distance herself from that and be her own woman. Just be what she needs to be. And we've seen what she's done. I think she had a very good SmackDown women's title run. An underrated run. So hopefully she gets back to her winning ways, because I think there's a lot there. A lot she has to offer that we just don't get to see other than being R-Truth's sidekick. So, all right. Well, let's get to the audio in just a minute, and we're going to listen to the just awesome, awesome reaction from the fans that exploded in joy when Becky Lynch turned on Charlotte after Charlotte stole the match, so to speak, and Becky should have been the one to win. So let's take a quick break, but I promise on the other side we're going to get right into that audio and we can live it together. So stay right here.
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
Hey, everybody. So it's not often that we talk about music here on this show or bands, but when we do, I think it's when it's worth listening to and when I run across a song or a band that I think it's worth sharing on this show. And that's one of these moments, and that's one of those bands that I think you guys should listen to. And it's just a particular song right now. And the song is called To the Fallen Sons. It's by a band called Carolus, C-A-R-O-L-U-S. And they're a newly formed band from Sweden. And they love making music about history, which is really, really cool. So this song in particular is about Carolians and the soldiers of the Swedish kings, King Charles the VI and King Charles the VII in the late 17th and 18th centuries. So let me give you a quick sample. And again, you can find them on Spotify under the song To the Fallen Sons. It's by Carolus, C-A-R-O-L-U-S. Hey guys, so we all know how important it is to get the right content on your site, but what about removing the content that you don't need or is damaging to your brand, your business, or your website? That's where ContentRemoval.com comes in. They help businesses and individuals remove online content that damages the reputation and sales. For example, they can help you remove search results, images, videos, web pages, blog posts, news articles, copyright infringement, negative content, and so much more. So head on over to ContentRemoval.com and let the professionals take care of this for you. On their website, you'll be able to get a free quote right away. It's right on the main page. If you're concerned about pricing, they'll be able to give that to you very quickly. So head on over to ContentRemoval.com. Get rid of the content that could be hurting your sales and your business. They've been featured on BBC, GQ, Sky, Main Event, Box Nation, and much more. So let the professionals take care of this for you guys. Head on over to ContentRemoval.com.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, guys, welcome back. And during the break, I was rewatching some of this footage from SummerSlam 2018 and the follow-up promo on SmackDown with Becky Lynch cut. And interestingly, the promo package that WWE showed on SmackDown before Becky Lynch came out to try to double down on her heel turn, which obviously flopped, the WWE in post-production took away the crowd reaction to the slap. So if there's any doubt that WWE had this grand plan, it all got shattered. I mean, they cannot take responsibility for this. This is purely because of the fans that Becky Lynch had such a massive impact on the industry in the women's and men's division, because the women here started to really take over the main events. And Becky Lynch was at the forefront of this. And we all know what happened with Becky in main events and her history-making moments and all of that kind of thing. Those were all because of the fans. Had the fans just went along with WWE's script, they would have booed Becky Lynch, cheered Charlotte Flair, and it would have just been kind of the Charlotte show. Instead, Charlotte won the championship here for the seventh time after Becky Lynch had Carmella in the disarmer, about to have her tap. Charlotte hits natural selection, pins Becky Lynch for the victory. And they hug it out, and let's get to the damn audio, right? This is what we're here for. Let's listen in on this moment.
Is every woman for herself in this match, and Charlotte just took advantage. Grand stage. Oh, Becky! Becky, what? Lay down to your best friend!
Come on, Becky.
Was the best friend. I get the frustration, but apparently Becky Lynch had reached her breaking point. This was about the title here tonight. That is what she came here for, and it was taken from her.
Becky Lynch lost her golden opportunity to her best friend.
Disdain in the eyes of Becky Lynch right now. I have never seen this look on Becky's face.
Oh my God, over the German announce desk. I can't believe we are seeing Becky Lynch snap. This was supposed to be Becky's night in her mind.
I don't think anyone expected it, but I kind of love it.
Becky Lynch wanted to be SmackDown Live Women's Champion again, but
with friends like Charlotte Flair, who needs enemies?
I mean, that's, man, it's such a huge moment there. And listening to that again and watching it again is, you talk about raw emotion from the fans, about their frustrations of the booking of Becky and having Becky snap just as the fans get fed up with another Charlotte championship win, another title reign for Charlotte, as Becky Lynch in the past had just kind of been the good little soldier and good friend and been supportive and been just the little last kicker that comes out in those stupid goggles that she did. And I never was a fan of that. Never. I actually came on here many times and just really shot down just how silly her entrance was. But I respected her work, always respected her work. And I think we all felt that she deserved more. And that frustration was very organic. It was, again, the fans, if they could control what happened there in a video game, that's exactly what they would have done. They would have turned on Charlotte and just beat her down. And you could hear the booing. You could hear the booing when they hugged. That's what the beginning of the clip was. When Becky and Charlotte embraced after Charlotte won, and it was just kind of like, hey, we're friends. I'm sorry that I had to do what I had to do to win the championship. And Becky feigned that she was okay with it and then ended up just tearing Charlotte apart. And then the You Deserve It chants at the end were probably twofold. You Deserve It, meaning Becky deserves the championship as she walked up the ramp and walked back into the curtain. But also you could interpret it as a You Deserve It to Charlotte for getting, having her ass kicked. I mean, it was probably a little bit of both. And it was a moment that is so just, it's such a turning point. We knew it was a turning point then, and it feels even bigger now if that moment didn't happen, right? And I don't know how WWE Vince McMahon didn't see this coming a mile away. Because you have a champion that's just been champion forever. She's clearly the corporate choice. She is the female Roman Reigns. And she's just, you know, habitually the champion. And if nobody else is champion, eventually she will be again. All roads lead to Charlotte. And just like all roads seem to lead to Roman Reigns. Although not recently, given his health concern with COVID and not participating in WrestleMania and WWE not mentioning him anymore, blah, blah, blah. That relationship will be repaired if there's any damage done at all. And eventually he will be champion again. And so with the female Roman Reigns in the women's division, you have this underdog of Becky who's been in the fans' eyes for many years in NXT and has gone through the paces. She's earned her respect in front of the fans for years. She has gotten very few opportunities at the women's championship. She feels, or the fans feel, that that WWE is continually overlooking her and constantly choosing Charlotte. And then they choose Charlotte at SummerSlam and then have the underdog snap. And that shadow that was Becky Lynch is now the one creating the shadow. She is no longer the shadow. And it is a beautiful moment. It is a moment that gives you chills because not only is it great to see in the moment, but it's also, in retrospect, you know how big of a moment this is going to be because of everything that you know now in 2020, of everything that's happened with Becky and all the everything that she's gone through, everything that she has accomplished, all the moments she's had, winning the Rumble in 2019. I mean, just so many things. So many things that moment led to for the women's division and was really the headline. I mean, it was a headline on Newsweek. And the headline read on Newsweek, let me read it to you. It said, "Did Becky Lynch turn heel?" This was published on August 20th, 2018. It's more complicated than that. So they go on to really talk about the highs and lows of this match, how it built up. This is where I got my read about the whole buildup to the match and how it happened. It was easily the highlight of SummerSlam that year. And it really just put the women's division not just on the map, but created a whole universe for them. And it was the most talked about moment of SummerSlam. And when you look at the rest of the card on SummerSlam, you had Alexa Bliss against Ronda Rousey. That wasn't that interesting. It was basically a squash match for Ronda Rousey. You had Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, as if we haven't seen that before, in about a 6-minute match. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy. We had Finn Balor against Baron Corbin, before he became the King. The Miz against Daniel Bryan. I mean, think about that. That whole program that led to, from their Talking Smack segment when Bryan was GM and he couldn't do anything about it because he was still injured and unable to compete, that led to that moment. Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens. Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler, who had Drew McIntyre at the time. Funny, right? The New Day defeated the Bludgeon Brothers. The B Team defeated the Revival. Cedric Alexander defeated Drew Gulak. And Andrade Cien Almas defeated, and Zelina Vega defeated Lana and Rusev. Funny, they got rid of the Cien Almas. I mean, if you come into WWE with more than one name, just assume that one of those names is going to get chopped. It just is. So there were 13 matches on this card. And what does everyone remember about SummerSlam 2018? For the most part. That moment. That moment with Becky Lynch that turned WWE on its head and put the women where they needed to be, with Becky Lynch as the centerpiece and with Charlotte Flair as the ultimate enemy of the corporate selection. And I don't know how Vince didn't see this coming a mile away. It baffles me that Vince believed that the fans would truly cheer Charlotte Flair here. It makes no sense. You know how I know they were supposed to cheer Charlotte Flair? Because Carmella was playing the heel here. The babyfaces were Charlotte and Becky because they were best friends on camera. And they edited out the sound of the people cheering for Becky in the video package after, on the SmackDown Live after SummerSlam. Byron Saxton, who's the usually voice of reason, there has to be a babyface commentator, and Byron Saxton is clearly trying to placate towards that, is trying to be the voice of reason and tell us why this isn't right, and I know you're frustrated, but come on, this is your best friend. But the fans were cheering so loudly. I mean, you can hear it right there. I mean, you want to get chills and go back to a moment that gives you chills. Becky Lynch slapping Charlotte Flair may have been the biggest moment in the women's division up until that point, was the biggest moment in the women's division. A single slap. Yes, they went on to make bigger moments, bigger matches. Certainly the women's triple threat at WrestleMania 35 was bigger, probably the biggest. That's the pinnacle. Does it get any bigger for the women? Where do they go from here? Do the women, I mean, I don't even know what's next. They've done an all women's pay-per-view. I wish they would do that again, by the way. I loved Evolution. Loved it. Probably the best pay-per-view, you could argue, of the year. And so I don't know where the women go from here. I mean, I'm glad that we don't have to hear about making history anymore. And the first time ever this, and the first time women's that. They did it all. They got it out of their system. I don't know what more first they could do. They've done the Women's Royal Rumble now a few times. They've done the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. They've done the first Women's Hell in a Cell. They've done the first ever Women's main event of WrestleMania. I mean, it doesn't get any higher than that. That's like getting a royal straight flush in poker. It just is. It's just the highest it gets. They have done a royal straight flush with the women. And now it's just, where do they go? I mean, how much higher can they go? I hope higher. I hope there's a different way to get them higher, because while that was a moment, and it's certainly the highest achievement that one could reach, it's only three women that did that. You know, they've done it, but now let's see who else can do it. Let's see who else can do it. I mean, just because the women did it doesn't mean that the men are held to a different standard. That is still the ultimate goal for the men as well. And I think the men got pushed aside. The men's division got pushed aside. There's no doubt about it. And I think the men were kind of complacent. It seemed anyway that the men were a little bit complacent on the roster while the women were killing it and trying to make a name for themselves and being in multiple segments, which was nice to see. It was nice to see the women not just going, okay, well, here's the obligatory one or two women's matches on Raw or SmackDown. If the women earn it, then they need to be on the show more. And the men, I think, were feeling that pressure, that fire from the women on both ends, Raw and SmackDown Live at the time. It wasn't just SmackDown, it was SmackDown Live. The men and the women, the men were feeling the pressure because they were saying, oh my God, you know, this was never something we had to worry about. The women were there, but they were never a threat. They were never a threat. And now you have Becky Lynch come along and really tear the place off and put a complete and light that whole theology up in smoke. I mean, she just lit it on fire and walked away. So it was awesome. I hope you guys were able to watch with me or at least watch after this. Just watch that moment, YouTube it. Or go to the network and watch it. It is it will remind you just how big it was, given everything that happened after that. And it's also nice to hear, by the way, fans' reactions. Any kind of fan sounds is always a good thing. I mean, anything at this point. After 8-9 weeks of just silence in the empty performance center, it's getting a little old. I hope that WWE sooner than later is allowed to incorporate fans, because it seems like Florida is really easing up on their restrictions. There's talk of pro sports coming back. That seems to be the focal point. I think as a nation, we have reached that turning point in terms of our, not just the numbers of deaths with the COVID outbreak and people contracting in and the active daily cases and the hospitalizations, everything's trending downward. So the numbers line up with the actions of lifting the lockdowns, which you could argue were more devastating than the COVID virus itself. But I'm trying very hard not to get political. But with Florida relaxing a lot of its restrictions, do we see fans in attendance in WWE before the summer's out? I think the answer is yes. Now, does everyone have to be 6 feet apart? And is it half capacity, 25% capacity? Do they have to wear masks while they're screaming? It may look very weird, right? You probably will have a 25 or 50% capacity with people spaced apart and people wearing masks. But you know what? I will take that over, crickets. Please. I think we're all a little bit over the crickets in silence. I think it's time to move on to reopening things. But again, my point was, that's where I was going, is that the numbers line up with the lockdowns being lifted, but also the sense, the general census that I'm getting, the consensus is people are ready to just move the F on, right? People are ready to move on. They're kind of over this for the most part. I know some people are out there going, oh, my grandma's really sick from this, or I have a friend who's sick from this, or I know somebody that's died. And, my condolences go out to you. But from the majority of us that don't know someone that's died and are just ready to get the hell out and get back to normal life and are over this whole thing, this is a welcome sign. And yes, we still have to be safe. I'm not saying that just because you aren't going to die, and it's a very, 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 very low mortality rate if you are young and healthy, by the way, that you should be stupid and go out and just be willy-nilly and not care. That's not my point. But we have to get back to our normal lives. I mean, you can't keep people cooped up. And people, especially as the weather gets really, really nice, and we're about to get really nice summer weather up in the Northeast, and people want to get the hell out, and you're not going to keep people in. And so it's nice that the numbers are jiving with what people are now shifting their thinking towards and just getting, I'm over this, right? I'm done. Let's move on. Let's move on with our lives. So hopefully WWE responds in kind, doing it safe, doing it by the numbers, doing it by the letter, adhering to all the codes and health restrictions and all of that, of course. But I think we will see before the 2020 summer is over, fans in an arena and live on Raw and SmackDown. And I think we can all say a very loud hallelujah, right? I mean, about time. So I haven't heard anything definitive, but I would think that that is the case, along with pro sports like baseball. I mean, I'm a huge baseball fan, and this is just killer that we haven't been able to see any games. So I think that's coming. Rumor has it around 4th of July, we could have a limited capacity fan attendance type of MLB return. So we'll see. But all right, I'm getting way off topic as I always do. But so anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show today. I'd encourage you to go check out the moment, check out the match, and really just delve yourself into this and put yourself in 2018. I know it's not, it's nostalgia, but it's not exactly a real true look back in time where we have to get in the DeLorean and go back. And I just because it's nostalgia doesn't mean I have to go back 20 years. I typically do, but this one really popped up to me, and I wanted to give the women's division its time in the sun here. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, I'll be back. When the heck am I going to be back? Saturday with a co-host. I think I know who it is. I've lost kind of the rotation of names, but so I'm gonna be back with a co-host on Saturday to do your weekend review covering SmackDown and Raw. And then NXT and AEW come to you tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that. We got three shows coming to you. And of course, we will also have this weekend your very first SmackDown review from our new co-host. And that he was announced on my Twitter feed earlier this week. But I don't have access to my Twitter because they've suspended my account. I told you the guys that yesterday. No idea why. I filed an appeal with Twitter because I have no clue what I've done. I didn't put anything offensive up. I haven't spammed anybody. I haven't done massive follows and unfollows. I have no clue why the hell my account's suspended. So hopefully I get answers. So you can't DM me. My account is just like MIA. Like when I log in, it just says I have zero followers and zero people I'm following. It's just like, what the hell, man? I got to conduct some business. So it's tough. It's tough. So anyway, that's my problem, not yours. And I will be, we're actively working on getting that back. So you can email me, by the way. You can still email me. That hasn't been shut down at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to get your voice in on the show and get a comment or question or suggestion, send your voicemail to me. Just create a voice memo and send it to me from your phone. Super easy. And I'll get your voice in on the show. And that's always a fun thing. If not, just head on over to Patreon if you want an ad-free experience at the WWE Podcast. And you can also subscribe to us on Apple. It's a great way to help out the show. Subscribe and review us on Apple is a really good way to help the show. I notice many of you that do that, so thank you. Even those of you that hate on the show or think I'm rude or I don't know, whatever, don't care. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. It's cool. I mean, you say whatever you'd like. It is what it is. I'm cool with it. It just comes with the territory. So, all right. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. And yep, I will talk to you soon. Hey guys, so we all know how important it is to get the right content on your site, but what about removing the content that you don't need or is damaging to your brand, your business, or your website? That's where ContentRemoval.com comes in. They help businesses and individuals remove online content that damages the reputation and sales. For example, they can help you remove search results, images, videos, web pages, blog posts, news articles, copyright infringement, negative content, and so much more. So head on over to ContentRemoval.com and let the professionals take care of this for you. On their website, you'll be able to get a free quote right away. It's right on the main page. If you're concerned about pricing, they'll be able to give that to you very quickly. So head on over to ContentRemoval.com. Get rid of the content that could be hurting your sales and your business. They've been featured on BBC, GQ, Sky, Main Event, Box Nation, and much more. So let the professionals take care of this for you guys. Head on over to ContentRemoval.com. Hey, everybody. So it's not often that we talk about music here on this show or bands, but when we do... I think it's when it's worth listening to and when I run across a song or a band that I think it's worth sharing on this show. And that's one of these moments. And that's one of those bands that I think you guys should listen to. And it's just a particular song right now. And the song is called To the Fallen Sons. It's by a band called Carolus, C-A-R-O-L-U-S. And they're a newly formed band from Sweden. And they love making music about history, which is really, really cool. So this song in particular is about Carolians and the soldiers of the Swedish kings, King Charles the VI and King Charles the VII in the late 17th and 18th centuries. So let me give you a quick sample. And again, you can find them on Spotify under the song To the Fallen Sons. It's by Carolus, C-A-R-O-L-U-S.
Listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to Patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.